Today on the Cooligans, we get word that Antoine Griezmann might be joining Orlando City, of all places. We did not expect that. We know the NBA head, my black king, Antoine Griezmann, was supposed to join L.A., New York, Miami. So Orlando is quite the shock to us.
Well, wait till we hear what Benfica has to say about Griezmann. Also, we talk a little bit about Vinny. We also talk about Weston McKennie. Obviously, the rumors where he was leaving Juventus, I think he should, but maybe not for MLS. And then the one, the only NWSL champion herself, Mandy Freeman, is on the show. That and more today on the Cooligans. You and I grew up a little differently. My mother, to this day, still thinks that, like, children running in a supermarket is, that's the same as, like, threatening to kill the president, in my mom's eyes. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, children running in a supermarket might be the most dangerous thing on earth. Like, you ever see, you know, when every once in a while a crazy person will try to climb a tall building with, like, no safety, you know what I mean? And when they get to the top, everyone applauds, but the police arrest them.
Yeah.
My mother thinks children running a supermarket is more dangerous than doing that. My mom would be like, let them go. But that 5-year-old running around in the supermarket by themselves, arrest that person.
Yeah, and I'll let you continue, but it just reminded me of, like, maybe this, the new parents. I'm a new parent.
Yeah.
And
you come across as, like, a gentle parent.
Well, I have a child that also wants to, he no longer wants to sit in the shopping cart when we go to the grocery store.
Right.
Which, like, most kids, you would think they love.
I want to sit in the shopping cart right now.
Yeah, right.
And by the way, I'm talking about a bodega. It's not even that long.
But he's like, he doesn't want to anymore and wants to run around the supermarket. And for the most part, I entertain it a little bit.
Okay, well then you need to listen to the rest of this, because my mother, for many years when I was young, I would go to the supermarket with her. I haven't been in the supermarket with my mother in forever. Mm-hmm. Recently, when I was in Jersey, I went to go visit her and she needed to get something from Costco. So I was like, bro, I haven't been to Costco in a minute. Let's go. I need to see what 7-pound container of mayo looks like, mm-hmm. you know? So I went to Costco.
Where do you go grocery shopping, out of curiosity?
Me?
Yeah, you.
There's a place called Mr. Beet, which is kind of dope. There's like a bunch of them. There's like Mr. Avocado, Mr. Whatever, super Dang. Cheap for something. No, really
no
expensive
misses.
For others.
No misses. Only misters.
No.
Only
the
men.
Wives aren't allowed to work if you know the culture who owned them. And then there's a Trader Joe's like 3 blocks from me.
Okay.
I'll sometimes go there. Also, let's be honest, I order it all in.
Yeah.
There's a farm to table. There's a bunch of those things.
So I'm
bring it
Whole
to
Foods.
Me.
Whole Foods, Wegmans. Whole Foods, Wegmans.
Yeah.
Like the
there's a Wegmans
it.
Not too far from me. There's a Whole Foods not too far from me. But go to Costco. How exciting is a gas station? It's crazy, right? It's a big warehouse full of food. Mm. And they're trying to hand you samples of frozen products.
The gasoline is next to the cheese. Mm.
That's what makes it taste good. And by it, I mean the gasoline. It tastes like cheese, folks. My mother sees like a other Latino kid, 5 years old, mm-hmm. running, like, maybe eight. Maybe 8 years old, running around.
Eight,
and my mother's
a big,
like
a bit old, to
right?
Be running around.
Maybe like seven,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
The case is like you're past the 3 years old, sure. right? And my mother's like, oye, no corre, which means like, hey, don't run. Mm-hmm. And the kid stops and walks back to, I assume we're
stranger,
his family.
A strange woman,
crazy old lady,
old lady
yelling at my
you gotta
at me,
listen, yeah.
right? She sees like a brown kid, I'm assuming something like South Asian. And she's like, no running, you know? My okay. mother's on patrol.
She didn't pull out the Hindi there?
No.
Why not?
Imagine she knew. I'm doing the replacing the light bulb dance behind her. We're going crazy. Right? And then she sees a white kid running. Mm. And my mom went to start going, nope, we don't yell at the white kids. Okay? You know who's patrolling these streets? We don't yell at the white one. My mother almost got herself caught
wow.
up on some charges.
Damn, she's trying you to police.
Can,
she's
you
trying
can
to...
yell. You can yell at the Latino because the Latino parent will come up to you and go, thank you.
Yeah,
muchísimas
yeah.
gracias.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah. It's like communal parenting.
Right, because I didn't have eyes on him, but I know I got my Latino drones out here, right? a South Asian will be like, thank you.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for making us feel welcome
right?
in the
sharing
community.
Culture. And maybe they were Arabic or whatever, but whatever the case
right,
may
right,
be,
right.
it wasn't Latino.
We got a lot in common. We relate to each other.
Yeah, yeah. Yo, you see the white one, the blonde hair joints running around? You let that go. You move shit out of their way. You help him climb up to the top of that. Do it. Now, I had to stop her, and I'm trying to explain to my mom, you know, you've been in this country for many years. We can't yell at the white ones. Because that parent's going to come over, and it's not going to be a thank you. It's going to be a, can I see your ID? You know what I mean?
You have a lawyer?
Yeah, go back to Mexico is what you're going to hear. Don't yell at my child. My child has a yelling allergy. You know, something of that nature.
Yes.
You know? I'm like, yo, you almost caught a warrant. You know
what
I mean?
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Look, parents, even our parents need to adapt and be aware.
You have to understand the rules of the lay of the land.
I mean, I think it also just suggests, you know, that the gentrification of our communities is like our parents are not used to interacting.
No, the Costco's in a white neighborhood.
Okay, then they're different.
No, we was in there too. It was a home game for them. It was very much
the
a way
I went to was in Sunset Park. All right, so that's how
I go to Costco. You went to, and there's no chance to yell at a white child in that neighborhood.
That's not a thing.
That's just a light skinned Latino.
Yeah, So when it's in grocery store. So what I've done to kind of help Mateo with, because he wants to run in the Whole Foods. I'm like, we can't be running in the Whole Foods. Also, a thing I noticed about Whole Foods, there's not many kids at Whole Foods. Parents don't bring their kids to Whole Foods often.
Whole Foods is just a place for white men to bring their Asian wives.
Yeah.
It's not for, you don't bring, there's no families there.
Yes.
It's where you show off your Asian
wife. We go and read the Oxford study there.
100%.
So there aren't many kids there to begin with, but.
And you're mucking it up with this child running around.
Yeah.
You're killing the vibe.
What I do to kind of like to entertain him and entertain myself a little bit is now we get his own shopping cart. He sits in the cart itself, not in the seat. And I push him inside there and he sits comfortably. And sometimes he's like...
So you're walking around with two shopping carts?
Not physically two. Like I'm with my wife and she has the one with the food. I have the one with the baby.
Oh, so you're like, all right, you do all the work and I'll push our child around.
Which is work. It is labor as well. Mm. Dealing with this kid that wants
weird
to
weird that you'd use the word labor when you didn't go through it and she did.
You know what I mean? Okay?
It's weird.
Anyway... You know, if your heart tells you you need to run a grocery store, do it for as long as you can. That's it. Be a child for as long as you can.
I would say just do it. Just make sure Daisy Gross isn't there.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerrero.
We got a hot show today. Our parents are going to be yelling at us about how crazy we're going to be going today because we have an incredible guest. We got the one and only defender of the... NWSL champion Gotham FC, Mandy Freeman, is
going to
be joining
us
in a little bit. A player who we've wanted to chat with for a very long time.
So I want her to style me, bro.
Okay, look at that. Alexis is like...
Dress me like a doll.
Okay, give him rosy cheeks.
Yeah. I meant a male doll that wasn't blushing.
No, like an American Girl doll.
Yeah, that's it. Come on here. Give me a lollipop.
Okay, but let's get started today in Major League Soccer. Reports are saying Antoine Griezmann is in talks to join Orlando City.
What?
Griezmann was linked to LAFC and Inter Miami. So why is Griezmann about to pull up to Disney World? But let's be honest. Does Griezmann coming to Orlando City, does it actually end Messi's dominance in Florida? Or is this just another European star trying to cash a check?
This is the top topic.
This feels weird because Orlando is not, other than Nani and Kaká, which are obviously two very big players. Kaká, again, one of the best players in the world at one point. I know they went there, but that's like the connection they have with like the Brazilian billionaire who owns it.
Yeah, it's like the branding sort of worked.
You won't even know him, dog. And also, Griezmann is a French guy who pretends to be Argentinian for the most part.
Sometimes black.
Yeah, well, that's more for photos.
Halloween is crazy.
But I just don't see the connection with Orlando. I think this is a coup for Orlando. I think this is a big deal. And I think there's like, you know, a lot of the teams that started with a lot of, fanfare, right? Like Atlanta, there seemed to be in a bit of a lull. They need to kind of, they brought back Miggy. Now they're bringing back Tata. They're like, remember when we were good?
Sure.
Yeah, I think Orlando kind of is in a similar situation where like they were great when they first started and the fans were incredible, but they haven't really won much.
Sure.
And I think this is a great way to like stoke the interest again. Not to say that they necessarily need it because I know there's a lot of support there. But this is cool. It feels weird to me. It's like, you sure?
Yeah,
someone tell you this is Miami? You know what I mean?
It's really nothing against Orlando City. It's not. It's just this particular pairing. Honestly, if the fact that Orlando City could convince Antoine Griezmann to join the club would be an impressive and a feat in its own right.
This is great.
This is like great work if you're able to do this.
I can't even think about the connection. Like with Drogba going to Montreal made sense. French. She speaks French. There's just like something there.
You know, exactly.
You wore blue before. You know what I mean? This, I don't see what the connection is. I do think in a way this is, you know, as much as I want MLS to move away from the retirement league, if you're going to go all in, go all in. I know Griezmann still has legs and he still has a lot of quality. He's still a very top player in Europe. But if you're going to do this, get a big name player in every league. I mean, having a World Cup winner, and I know Lloris is here, but like, you know, who cares, right? If you're going to get a World Cup winner, that's incredible. If you're going to get, look at all the trophies this gentleman has won. Mm-hmm. And obviously the massive rivalry with Messi when he was at Atletico Madrid is huge.
Sure.
Kind of another way of restoking that, using that to promote the league.
France and Argentina as sure, well. Yeah. Like that could be a fun way to just highlight that, you know, rivalry. It seems like
am I bugging to think that Griezmann wouldn't do this unless he knew more was happening in Orlando, right? Like maybe going after another.
Yeah, you have to believe
star.
In the project a little bit.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason,
I can't think he's like, I need to play for Oscar, buddy, who I love.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I can't think Griezmann's thinking that.
Exactly. It feels, and this is totally unfair and totally like, I personally feel that Antoine Griezmann would be, you know, he will get the retirement league allegations or whatever because of his age. But I just like, I feel like if he went to LAFC or Inter Miami or like just a big market kind of thing, that he would also take it more seriously. And that is not fair, but that's just my brain being like,
that's
he's
your first
a big player.
Instinct.
He loves to go to NBA games. He wants to probably be Lakers games or whatever. I don't know why his team is. Is he a Magic fan?
I think Harlem Globetrotters from the Christmas from the photo.
He wants to follow the tour of Harlem Globetrotters.
Look out, Washington Senators. I'm confused by this, but I'm also kind of happy. I'm happy for MLS. I'm happy for Orlando. I'm happy for Orlando fans. But at the same time, I think even Orlando fans would be like, really? We're getting him?
Yeah.
It's not because Orlando doesn't deserve to have a star. I mean, you had Kaká and you had Nani. I mean, you've had Bato was there for a minute, too. Jesus, I forgot about Bato. You've had some names, but this just feels a little bit out of left field in a way.
A little bit. But he might, if it's a realistic thing, then it's like you said, like he must believe in like kind of
and
a
3-year
also 3-year contract is what they're reportedly offering him. And it was reported by Tom Boger and Paul Tenorio of The Athletic. But 3 years, I can't imagine
how
many
much
other
money he's making.
I can't imagine many other teams would offer 3 years. He's what, 34, 35?
Of course
right
you offer 3 years.
And I'm just saying
every other team would offer 3 years.
I don't know.
Colorado would have to offer 15 years. no disrespect.
But given that if he does go to Orlando, there would be some real competition with Lionel Messi. Simply with the fact that those are the two MLS teams in Florida.
Does he immediately walk in and supersede? He doesn't supersede Messi.
No, I don't think
he supersedes Son.
Is he the next?
Thomas Mueller? I think he supersedes him a little bit.
That's interesting. I wonder.
He's more of a vibes guy.
And he's more clearly like marketable, right? He will do the things. He'll go to the NBA games. He'll dress cool.
Thomas Mueller's kind of done some of that, but you just don't expect it.
It's like very surprising from Mueller. Thomas Mueller set the bar pretty high for a guy who you just think is like a soccer dad.
Yeah,
and he's just like he'll be out here. He'll be like, yeah, I'll hang out.
And he leaves it all on the pitch every time he plays. So I can't, there's no disrespect to Thomas Mueller. That's just not the name that's, you know, it's not a sexy name. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Antoine Griezmann is a ridiculously sexy name.
The name, the grease is in his name.
Right?
Bro.
Already I love him. I think also I want to push back a little bit on the assertion that maybe he won't give it all. And I get it was just it's just an immediate reaction.
Sure.
Because he's done that. He hasn't done that anywhere else. Even when Barcelona wasn't going well, he still left it all on the pitch. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, I'm like, nah, this guy's probably one of those like crazy competitive players.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't seem to me like someone who just wants to. I mean, you're not going to Orlando to party. I don't think anybody likes Disney now. I don't ever want to go to Disney. One of the reasons I never want children is so that I don't ever have to go to Disney.
Sure.
It's one of the worst places on earth. I'm so sorry.
plenty of other reasons why you don't need that. Oh my
God. Disney is for people who think the stripper is in love with you, think Disney is the happiest place on earth. That's the same. Okay. It's all fake. All of this is fake. None of this. It's not a real castle. It's so dumb. This is all dumb. All right, this is a little, the food's bad. It's expensive.
You can't suspend disbelief for anything.
It's so dumb.
Why watch movies? Why turn on the TV and watch a show?
But there's a guy who hates his job in that costume. That's it. That's all it is. It's, none of this is real. That guy would rather be in his Honda Civic smoking a vape.
Okay. Alexis just wants to, you know, play poker and smoke cigars and blow smoke.
Leave me
in
an outdoor cafe in Paris. I'm fine.
But yeah, as far as from a league standpoint, having Griezmann in your league,
huge.
Yeah, and it's again, it's one of those you'll immediately make the team better. And Orlando is in a weird kind of not weird transitional spot, but Muriel is gone, right? He left. So they need to find kind of a. What they are like losing Muriel, losing Freeman, they need to find like a little bit of an identity.
And how ambitious is this? This is incredible.
So I'm not saying it wouldn't be fun, but look, people are even in the rumors about it. Chad Ochocinco, Chad Johnson, aka Ochocinco, he went back to Chad Johnson officially, right? I think he did. I think he changed his name back. To Chad Johnson. I don't know.
I haven't gotten my newsletter from the Ochocinco Substack. Email hasn't come in.
But he had tweeted out, "Welcome home, AG."
Which I thought he was talking to me. I'm like, I've been here.
Which I didn't know if he's saying that. He's obviously the picture with Antoine Griezmann. But does Ochocinco live in Orlando? I thought he was a Miami guy.
He's a Florida guy.
Okay. Because when we met him in Miami for the Neymar 5.
Can I say this about Chad Johnson? I don't believe 90% of what he says.
Okay.
He says he eats nothing but McDonald's. I don't believe that.
Yeah. He also says he has a small penis. I don't believe that.
He said he got a penis enlargement.
Yeah, I did see that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really believe
that
it.
I believe. but the McDonald's thing.
Because he's one of those guys that tells the same story on different podcasts.
Yeah.
And it's like, but he you can tell he's like, he tries to... Is that like an audition that you're trying to get it?
I think here's what you and I are both saying is if you want us to believe that you eat McDonald's for every meal, show us your penis.
Yeah, that's we finally got there.
If that's true, I'll believe everything else about you.
Just a long way of getting to that point. Thank you for breaking it down.
Right? Let's see if it was actually 8.5, which is such a good joke, by the way.
So, look, I'm all for it. I would love to see him just in the league. Orlando is a little bit of a surprise, but overall, Griezmann is outside of his Halloween costumes. He has to adjust that a little bit. We just got to make sure he has to be, you know, this country, the culturally a little bit different. In Spain,
you I know you ain't polishing this many black shoes, right?
So just so you don't need to
just
purchase.
Leave it in España. You know what I mean?
So because this is also an issue. Who is it? Iniesta? His Christmas family photo. Also included several people in blackface, and
have like a celebration where they do that?
They do, yeah. This is you can't get away with it here.
But I don't think that's about black people. I think that's something to do with like spirits or something.
It's some sort of character, I think, that is in like, well, you know, whatever
lore,
European Christmas lore. It's not great. So that's the main thing. So regardless if it's a sweet little character that has a Saturday morning cartoon, we don't do it here.
Right.
You're going to get into a lot of heat. So anyway.
You know what? If you have a lot of that, just send it to Prestiani. You don't need it anymore.
Nothing but the most just powerful champions of guests.
Bro, if you ain't winning trophy, we don't want you on the show.
We insult the players that have not won trophies.
Yeah, we come on so we can roast you. So maybe that'll inspire you to be like this guest.
No, it's one of, I think, a player that's long overdue for her appearance on the show because we've had several players from Gotham FC.
Big
but what we are huge fans. And one of the things that we got to do a couple years ago together, we got to share a Gotham catwalk entering the stadium.
And we did not belong.
They were... the fact that they even allowed us
yeah.
to, to sully this catwalk is quite quite.
And I believe they did not win that year. So that is our fault. It may be our fault.
It may be our fault. But look, a fan favorite, Justin, a veteran, not only of Gotham, of Sky Blue, of NWSL. It's an honor for us to have her on, obviously, of the champion Gotham FC from last year. Everyone, please give it up for Mandy Freeman. Mandy, what's up?
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Dude, an absolute honor to have you on.
Yeah, you are easily, I mean, I think for even neutrals of, you know, in NWSL, you're like a favorite, a fan favorite. And whether it comes to the fashion, the style, your play on the field, your dedication to your craft, to your team, and to fashion as well, when you travel around the league, do you kind of feel that? I mean, I don't know, my bubble of you know, my For You page is like, everybody loves Mandy Freeman.
Well, thank you for saying all those nice things. Wow, I really needed that today. Yeah, do I feel that? I definitely feel it from our fans, just having been here super long tenured, Cloud Nine. Me and them are ride or die, been together for my 10th season now. Yeah. So yeah, as far as like the rest of the league, I don't know, I feel like we tend to show everybody love, all the players. So definitely feel appreciated. Okay. Here
but would you say, like, the one thing about NWSL is that there's a lot of turnover on clubs? I mean, that's any club really in the world, but a lot of new players walking on. Do you ever look at them and go, we have a standard to uphold on the way into the game here? All right. Mandy's team dresses up. You know what I mean? The fit's gotta be fresh. Do you ever have that moment where you're like, look, there's kind of some rules around here? I'm sure there's some stuff on the pitch. Let's talk fits.
I mean, yeah, we definitely have, you know, the talk in regards to, like, listen, when you step out on the field, when you come to training, when you show up to the game, you got to be suited and booted. Jaden, you know, came in right away and took that mantle and showed out. So respect to the players that do, you know, throw a fit and the ones that don't.
Okay.
Yeah. Does that help you bond as a team? Because I feel like Gotham was one of the first teams that really sort of embrace this. Does that help bond as a team, like that stuff off the pitch?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a way to show our personalities off the field, you know, get a feel for each other, what we like to wear, where we like to shop. Obviously, you know, New York, New Jersey, kind of like the hub of fashion. So, you know, spent a lot of off days doing shopping trips with the girls. And yeah, I think it's just allowed us to really get to know each other's personality, like, off the field, which I feel like a lot of people don't get to see.
Yeah, this is.
I'll go thrifting. You think I won't crush a couple espresso martinis with the gals? I don't know if you're allowed to drink during the season. Are you kidding me?
We were joking about, you know.
I'll be a West Village girly for the day.
Mandy
Freeman styles Alexis Guerrero. So, I mean, that might
be a section you might not be in often in the double XL size, but they got some fits out there.
Hey, listen, we can get you right. We can get you right. Let me know.
Why is this shirt heavier than every shirt I own?
I mean, look. Especially with Gotham, you know, we've been obviously following the team for so long, but then in San Diego, I got to be at the NWSL championship game, and I think that is where I really saw the fans' appreciation of you, because you were injured that game, so you couldn't play, but you were in front of Cloud Nine, and they were so happy for you. It was like, yeah, obviously they're appreciative of their team winning a title. But that moment to me really sticks in my mind, because it was, I'm sure it was, you know, you're gutted, you can't play in this game. But you don't miss out on that celebration, especially, and that appreciation for the team, because people remember you from before the team rebranded.
Yeah, Sky Blue days.
Yeah, I mean, what can you say about that moment? About, because I might have a video of it, of you walking up to them, but it was so sweet.
It was literally me crying in the club. I know that video is everywhere for me. I'm crying. Yeah, it was just a really special moment. It was like a lot of bittersweet feelings surrounding it. Again, like you said, being there but not really getting to, like, be a part of the action, but still feeling the love and the support from Cloud Nine since the moment that I arrived. And like I said, they've been with us through Sky Blue days in the trenches, and they've been with us when we had 200 people in the stands, half of them being people's family, and when we're now, like, you know, selling at the local at Sports Illustrated. So Yeah, I feel like I owe a lot of my satisfaction with being with the club for as long, definitely due to them and their support. And I always feel it, and I always make sure to go up to them to get a Capri Sun after every game. They always got one for me.
Adorable.
That's beautiful. Once you hit double digits in your career, you're now a veteran, whether you like it or not. It doesn't matter who else is on the team. I wish this wasn't still the conversation, but in your time, so much has changed about professional women's soccer in this country. Is there anything that sticks out walking into your Tet scenes and going like, oh, this was never like this?
Yeah, I think the accessibility of the game. Like when I was about to be drafted, I think back then, the games were being played on.
What the hell is that?
What's a draft? Exactly. You were born in 19 something? That's crazy.
That's what the draft is for now. Like I talk to people about it, and like I feel like I just have like, I'm just like a placeholder for like all of the stories, the untold stories of the league, like having like host families.
You're the NWSL Oracle.
Our games being on Lifetime. Yeah, I'm around to to humble people.
The rookies are like, don't tell Mandy about this because she'll give you one of them back in my day stories.
Oh my, well, we had that. We had a team dinner last night and me and Katie were just, you know, traumatizing the rookies. But yeah, no, I think the accessibility is like one of the biggest things, like having our games be on ESPN, on Prime, you know, really accessible for people to watch it. Cause having to explain that, like, yeah, you have to like stream it or watch it on YouTube, you know, it's hard to get fans really into what we're doing and have it feel professional. So I feel like that and the investments that we've had from, you know, I think the investment into women's sports, I think has really helped as well. And yeah, I feel like that's been the biggest impact. And you can see the being able to play in that type of environment with these stadiums, having, you know, access to a lot of the things that most professional athletes take for granted that we fought really hard for.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's like, that's a good point. Cause I even watching games on Prime and it's like NWSL in like 4K and it's like, yo, I can see the ribbons in their hair. Yeah. Like it's that clear. It's great. When you talk about the changes and specifically with Gotham, I mean, you talked about like the trenches. I mean, Gotham is the opposite of the trenches now, right? Like, I mean, look at what the team has become and just the success. I mean, and also the spoils, right? Of like some incredible players come through. It's a team that clearly I think a lot of players that even if they're interested in joining the team, they see the project, they see the opportunities. So can you talk about just the star power that is now coming through the team with either all these national team players, Brazilian players that they want to play for Gotham, and it is a destination now for a lot of players?
Yeah, I think that's another noted difference between like, you know, Sky Blue versus Gotham is just like the fact that people want to play here. They see the market, they see the championships, they see, you know, the opportunities to grow, and they want to be a part of that. And I think that speaks volumes to like the growth that we've had as a club. And yeah, I mean, talk about star power. We have like internationals. I can list every single player that's gone right now. And yeah, they just add so much to the environment, the quality of training. You know, their expertise is, I mean, unspeakable, like the amount of quality that they add to the group. And yeah, it's great having them here.
Does it make it easier going, you know, defending against other clubs and you're like, you should see how they go hard in training? Like, we got skill here.
Oh, definitely. I mean, our trainings against ourselves sometimes are like harder like than, you know, the games on the weekend, with just how intense we are with each other and how we demand the best from like not only like ourselves, but the coaching staff. So like you can only really get better in an environment like that where everyone is striving to succeed.
And I want to make sure we talk about the NWSL kits came out today. Gotham's kit is out. I mean, when we talk about fashion, we got the fashionista on. We got the Statue of Liberty. The color, obviously, it's obviously an ode to the New York State flag.
New York City flag.
New York City flag. Yeah. The colors are beautiful. You got the Statue of Liberty on there.
Orange shorts.
The orange shorts are
They're
great.
Fire. First time I want to just buy shorts.
Hey, we love that.
Yeah.
So, what was your first impression? And you did the photo shoot and everything. How do you feel about it?
I love it. I think it's like very identifiable to be like New York and having the Statue of Liberty. You know, we are a New York, New Jersey team and we want to rep that to like the best of our ability, which means coming hard with the fits, coming hard with the kits. And yeah, so hopefully everyone, you know, purchases a kit and styles it their own way and wears it to games and stuff. Yeah, I think it's kind of just like an homage to, again, like the history of the sports culture in New York.
You know, the island that the Statue of Liberty is on is actually on both. It's in both New York and New Jersey waters. In fact, the statue splits it in half. And this is true. The statue's yeeks are in New Jersey. You know, I wanted to say that in the most respectful possible way. So, I mean, you decide who got the best part.
So, are you suggesting that the Statue of Liberty is twerking on New Jersey?
I'm just saying, it's showing. You tell me which one is the best side. You know what I mean? What's the view you want? I'll tell you the one I want.
You live on the side that you prefer to look at.
You pick, bro.
Respectfully, yeah.
All right.
That's true. That's facts. You can look that up.
I didn't see the full kit. Are the shorts are orange? What are the socks?
Socks are white.
White, okay.
Blue accents. Mm-hmm.
But the badge is a different color now.
Oh, it has an outline.
But even the badge itself, mm-hmm. I think, is a different shade of blue.
Yeah, we went with like a little bit of a darker blue this year.
Yeah, and you got a golden star up top, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. A couple of them, too.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Gotta remember that one.
Not bad. It ain't tricking if you got it.
All right. I want to reminisce a little bit about last season's championship run, because I remember...
You took out the greatest team in NWSL history.
And I remember Midge was on, I think, Late Night with Seth Meyers or something, and that was talking about that the hope would be to basically be better in the regular season. Like, don't finish last so you can have like a better chances in the playoffs. But it doesn't seem to matter that much for Gotham. But like Alexis said, knocking out the Kansas City Current, which everybody was just like, I even was like, oh man, we're walking into this buzzsaw.
I picked Gotham to win that.
I was
in my bracket.
I'm not going to lie to you.
I was still on TV at that time, so it's on record. I said it on television.
But once that happened, were you like, all right, we got this?
Yeah, I mean, it is a big confidence booster to beat like the number one team with the best record and the best this and the best that. But again, like, I feel like that whole run was just us backing ourselves, regardless of what people were talking about us in the media. You know, Jaden's line with the underdogs. I think we never treated ourselves as underdogs, despite like our standings being eighth. And that was just like a confidence and a swagger that we carried with us. And yeah, so like anybody that doubted us, sorry about it.
Yeah, sucks to be you. You're from Florida, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So like maybe you've been here 10 years. You kind of understand the East Coast is like, the energy is like, yo, they don't believe in us. Let me show them this. That chip on our shoulder kind of exists. Mm-hmm. Do you think that helps this team? Because even I wonder, towards the end of the regular season, I'm like, yo, why they keep slipping down? And then you get into eighth and then you find a way to win the title. Can you use that as a positive when something like that happens?
Yeah, I think I would rather have, you know, a season or a journey where everything is not good. It's kind of with ups and downs and everything to like be smooth sailing. I think it builds character, and I think we kind of needed that. And yeah, I think it is a bit of a boost to go in knowing what, I mean, our last game before playoffs, we lost. And so having that on our back and having that in the back of our mind, kind of being like, this isn't our standard, which we knew. And so you just have to raise it from there. And yeah, I guess that's where the chip on the shoulder comes from of like, we're not playing to the best of our ability. We know that we are capable of more and we want to continue to show that. And we have to win the games that matter.
Yeah. Look, the last game of the season was against the Courage and it was a rainy, gross game.
Weird game.
I think Gotham was down like 3-0 or something. And yeah. I ended at 3. I like shut it off at 3. And I'm like, what is this? This isn't us. I was speaking like, man, this isn't the standard.
You know how hard we've worked to get here? He's talking to himself.
Me. We collectively.
Yeah, the royal we. You know?
But, it was just such an incredible moment. I mean, there's a couple things. We hosted the World Cup draw in Times Square, and Jaden Shaw was there. So we were talking to her about this a little bit. But the moments that in both championship runs, there were always like players that you're like, you know, where you clearly see it's a collective effort. And you mentioned Katie Stengel earlier. Mm-hmm. And it's like that goal, if she doesn't score that goal in Portland a couple of years ago, and then the goal in Kansas City, like the fact that that can happen out of players might have one or two goals in the season and then score one of the most important goals in the playoffs. What can you say to the collective, about the collective, that moments like that can happen from players that you may not necessarily expect?
Yeah, I think that, again, speaks to like our roster. We have quality players that may not be on the starting 11, but that can be game changers and affect the game. I call her Katie Clutch Stengel because, you know, she comes in clutch when you need her. And I think having a player being able to come, not start, come onto the field in an intense game like that, I think, again, speaks to like the environment that we train in where we get the job done. Like that is kind of just like what we do regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the chaos or what people are saying or what's happening outside of the team. Like we have a role to play, a job to do, and you know, we're having fun while we're doing it. Yeah. And winning is fun.
You know, of course. I mean, being in the league for so long, you know, one of the things that I think impressed us the most about, or surprises the most about professional soccer players, is how much time you actually get to yourself, right? You train a lot during the day, but then you're home early in the afternoon and you can start to develop passions and whatnot. Clearly, you know, they call you the thrifter fashionista. So clearly you've got some passions. Is there anything else that you're like really into? Maybe something you might think about doing in the future when you're done playing soccer?
I'm actually really into drawing and painting. Not that that's going to be like something that I'm going to be doing after soccer, like at least to make money. But it is something that I'm passionate about that I'm trying to lean into more, again, with like just like encouraging and embracing a different creative side of me to bring that out. Fashion, definitely something I want to pursue career-wise post-soccer. But for the heart and for the soul, art is something that I really want to lean into.
Yeah, forget that heart and soul stuff. What in fashion you want to do? No, I'm joking. Let's talk money.
Yeah, you
want to be a stylist? You want to be a designer? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I want to be into styling, working with magazines and doing like editorial works. I do want to dip my toe into styling athletes. So it's hard in the league because obviously I'm still in the league. I'm not trying to style my opponents, but definitely something that I want to start doing.
I'm going to put him on blast, but I'll send you a list of the players that need your help. You know what I mean? I got you.
I appreciate it.
I know a couple warehouses that have fabrics. if you need me, connect you with them. But given that you've I've played in the league a long time, and I think for a lot of people, you know, you're that kind of that, you know, that wise vet that maybe people come to. And the fact that so many stars have, you know, played for Gotham and for Sky Blue, are there any players that had a big impact on you to get you to the point where you are now?
Yeah, I think, I mean, again, I can like have like a list going. I think the biggest ones that stand out to me are like a Lynn Williams, a Crystal Dunn, Kelly O'Hara. She was here when I was a rookie and then came back and retired here. and so being able to just like take advice and take wisdom from them as well as be able to pass it on, I think is something that I'm grateful for in my career. To be able to play alongside and against some top players and top people in the world.
Hey. Awesome. Talk to me a little bit about your work with the Black Women's Players Collective.
Yeah, the BWPC. We do, I think, really great work trying to incorporate and bring more leadership opportunities to, you know, Black girls and boys in sport and out of sport, really focusing on just like exposure, getting young kids to experience different things that they may not be used to or maybe not have access to. So one of the big initiatives are mini pitches. So basically mini fields popping up in like more rural areas around the country and doing clinics there, not just soccer focused, but wellness focused as well. Focusing on mental health, doing different seminars and having different people speak. I think that is something that I think I'm really proud of that the BWPC has been putting together.
Yeah, I especially love the mental health part because he grew up in Brooklyn. I grew up in Newark, and sometimes in those types of communities, they never really focus on the mental health part. They just expect like, oh, you don't have it because, you know, who cares? We don't deal with that in our cultures, and we do. Mm-hmm. And so it's beautiful that you do that as well.
Yeah, and then we had done a thing with Street Soccer USA, and Justin Morrow was there, and Justin Morrow obviously works with the organization as well. So so I appreciate all the work that you guys do. Before we let you go, I do want to ask about the high impact player rule, because we haven't had the chance to talk to an NWSL player about this yet. There's been a lot of, there's still, I don't even know if the union will let you talk about it.
Yeah, there are league officials on the call with us, so have fun. How are you going to walk around this one?
I'm not going to handle that one.
but even just and maybe this is a broader conversation about, you know, just pay in the league and in general, but as the league grows, things like this are going to come up on how finding ways to either keep big name players or attract that talent. But when you first heard about this, is this a thing that is like, I don't know, slightly annoying or like, oh, OK, cool. This is at least they're trying to keep players here. They're trying to find ways to make sure that the quality talent is paid and paid well.
Yeah, I think everyone should be paid what they're worth. And anytime we can keep talent in the NWSL is great for the league and great for the players that play within the league. With this, I feel like it highlights certain players and kind of leaves behind others in the league. And so in that regards, I would like it. I think it would be beneficial if it like we could find a balance between giving to, you know, the high impact players, but also paying the rest of the league as well. So I feel like it's a broader issue of how do we kind of pay the players in the whole league what they're worth, not on an individual basis, but as a collective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't just raise the ceiling, raise the floor.
Yeah.
How about that?
I mean, look, it's been, you know, it's not just us, but I mean, a lot of people feel the same way. There's a fair, I mean, you even mentioning the point about like it leaves some players out, but it's like that is like the point, right? That which is like not necessarily what would make the collective group of players kind of feel good, right? That is you want everybody to be excited to play for their teams and go to work and all this other stuff. So I think the fact that there's even a debate about this is a healthy place to, which at least also highlights the leverage that the players themselves have, right? To fight for, you know, a fairer deal or a fairer sort of a collective bargaining agreement or something. But I appreciate your answer. I know it's, you know, I would imagine if we were off air, it might sound a little bit different.
Yeah. What are you talking about? She answered exact.
I love it. We got to get back to the negotiating table and we'll figure something out. But as we get there,
you can just speak to the fact that the league is at a point now where they even can pay this kind of money to a player.
Yeah.
Like, do you think if you were to walk away tomorrow that the league is obviously in a much better place than when you first walked in? And you had something to do with that?
Like, yeah, for sure. I think the league is definitely in a better place. Even speaking to, you know, the rookies that we have on the team and the new players that are coming to the league, just the difference in what it was like 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And so I think that type of growth is still to continue. So we have to kind of match that, how we're treating players, what we're giving players to match the growth of the league.
Awesome. Okay.
All right.
My suggestion is stop talking about the draft. Tell them you got some NIL deal.
I don't know. That wasn't even people aren't going to anymore. They just come straight out. So.
All right. What's the plan? What's the ambitions? You won a title. Are we going back to back next season?
Oh, that's always the goal. That's always the goal.
Okay.
We've got the league. We've got, you know, again, we talk about wanting to finish higher up in the table in the league. So that's definitely a goal for ours. You know, having a championship is great, but we also want to finish the league in the top position. And we got CONCACAF again this year. So lots of trophies to play for.
Yeah.
All right, ball that's out. It. We only, can't wait.
Only the champions get invited.
Sorry.
That's how it works. Yeah. Mandy Freeman, it is an absolute honor. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Seriously, you're welcome back anytime. But seriously, thank you.
Amazing. And you're welcome to the girl dinners and the girl outings.
I'll be there.
Let's go.
Done.
It's an honor, bro.
Yo, Weston McKennie might be the most disrespected American in all of Europe.
He was one of the only players actually balling out for Juve in Champions League. And yet they still found a way to fail around him.
come on, U.S. men's national team fans, be honest. How many times have you seen Wes absolutely cooking and you thought to yourself, yo, this might not be the best place for Wes. Maybe he should leave. Maybe Juventus doesn't deserve him. Weston McKennie, he might be their best player right now. At the very least, at least the most clutch.
It is not. I'm kind of fine with the first statement.
Well, okay, Thuram, Kefren Thuram, and Yildiz are players that I feel like have a higher ceiling. McKennie's 27 already. This is his peak. But this is, he's clearly someone you can depend on.
Right. And look, I forgot who it was. Somebody in the comments a couple of weeks ago were like, yo, can you stop hyping up and glazing McKennie?
Yeah.
Because he's like, he's not really even that good. I'm like, how many times does he need to prove it to you? He played in the first, look, they ended up losing to Galatasaray, which they shouldn't have.
They had a red card.
I think they were the better team. The red card in the first game, so much red card in the second game.
Yeah.
There was so much against them. But the fact that they were able to tie the game with down a man says a lot. But who tied that game?
Right.
Weston McKennie. Weston McKennie played false nine in the first leg, left back in the second leg.
Yeah. I mean, really anywhere. In fact, look at this stat, which is crazy. Thank you. Opta changes the name for every country. Mm-hmm. And they went with Opta Paolo for the Italians. Weston McKennie is the third Juventus midfielder to score at least 10 goals in Champions League/European Cup. After who? Michel Platini and Pavel Nedved.
Yes.
Nedved and Platini is insane.
Those Michael Platini and Paul Nedved.
Yo, you guys know them. They're great accountants. No, dude, Platini and Nedved, those are Ballon d'Or winners, whether Nedved deserves it or not. Mm-hmm. These are Ballon d'Or winners, and Weston McKennie is now on the same list in certain stats with this level of player. And it takes me back to a conversation where, obviously, I'm friends with Massimo, who owns Lindstrom. There was another gentleman from Milan that was in town. Very Italian guy. Huge AC Milan fan. I go, hey.
What's a very Italian guy?
Just like, he wasn't just, like an American Italian. This guy's like super Italian.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, all his clothes were super tight. I was like, yo, Christian Pulisic, not bad, huh? And he goes, hey, we had Shevchenko. And I'm like, you ain't had Shevchenko for years, dog. Like, you know, that the mentality is like, yeah, these players are good, but these aren't the types of players like Serie A shit. Weston McKennie is the type of that proves it.
Yeah,
this is the level of player you would hope to have on an AC Milan. You would hope to have on an Atalanta. You would hope to have on, you know, Inter. Like, this is huge. Napoli. Like, this is a top level player. I'm not going to sit here and say he's elite. I'm not going to sit here and say he's one of the best players in Europe, but he's very clearly in that level of a player that any team would need to have. And that's why I want to go back to, if you look at the way he's been treated. And I know we've talked about this before, where every year the team alerts him, hey, you're not in our plans. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh my God, baby girl, don't leave me. Mm-hmm. You know, we need you.
Yeah.
Every coach is like, you're not in my plans. And then 2 months later, they're like, man, he might be the best player on the team. So, you know, whoever's in our comments, might have been Allegri, by the way. Whoever's in our comments is similar to the way they're thinking. That's why there was talk of him coming to MLS. And maybe that was like a negotiation tactic for his contract. There was all these rumors about him coming to MLS, and you know, I revealed that I had heard from a very top source that he was trying to get part of FC Cincinnati in that deal.
Ownership,
part of the club. So again, there's all these rumors that are very kind of substantiated about linking him with MLS. I do think he should leave Juventus, but not for MLS. I think he deserves to go to an even higher level. And I know Juventinos are like, well, it's a higher level than Juventus. I think we can see him back in the Premier League. I think we can see him, maybe not, you know, not City, maybe not an Arsenal.
He was at Leeds, right? And it just didn't.
Yeah, but that was a bad situation. He was also out of shape. He's in much better shape now. Mm-hmm. That was bad.
It was not a great team. That was that team that got relegated.
Yeah, but I think he can go back. I think I could see him at a Bournemouth. I could see him at a Fulham. I could see him at a level like that where I think he might even ball out. I think he's proven at Juventus.
I think he would be like a great like Brighton player. I would also love him at Everton.
Brighton doesn't really buy 20. Everton would be insane.
I think not only would it be it's a good Premier League team.
That's a good fit for him.
I think so. And obviously Everton are a very good defensive team, and that is like the priority, you know, of like the style of the team pretty much with any coach that they have. But this is, I mean, what he did against Galatasaray in those two matches, I think just showed so much of his character and his ability and leadership skill. Like,
look at when the team had Cristiano Ronaldo on it. Who was scoring in Champions League late headers? And you know what I mean? No one expected him to do that. And I'm not saying he was better than Ronaldo, but when he's surrounded by better players, he shines even more. And it seems to me like whenever there's a clutch moment, regardless of whether it's left back, regardless of whether it's midfielder, regardless of whether it's striker, he finds a way to not just be involved in the game, but he finds a way to make something happen. Even in, I forgot who was it. Was it Thuram who missed the shot? Who missed the shot crazy that he kind of left? He kind of like just tapped and left.
That was the right winger. I forgot his name, but he subbed onto the game.
It wasn't Locatelli. What's
no,
his
it
name?
Wasn't Locatelli. No, that's from the other team.
I'm trying to think of who.
Who was his name? I mean, yeah, it was like an unbelievable miss.
But think about Weston
Zagrova. Zagrova.
Zagrova.
So McKennie lays the ball off for him.
Yeah, but McKennie touches and leaves it there for him. Like, bro,
it's a tap.
You get the shine, bro.
But I mean, McKennie should have been a striker right there. Like, bro, shoot. Just shoot.
Right.
You probably would have scored as well. But I would argue there's a better chance for a wide open defender.
It's ridiculous that he missed.
It's unbelievable that he missed.
But the point I'm making is like, yo, he's integral in every part of the game. He tracks back. He's defensive. Even when they're down to 10 men and he's running like crazy, there was a moment where I forget who it was. It was someone on the left side tries to clear the ball and it goes right back to a Galatasaray player. And McKennie's like had run past the play now because he thought, oh, we have a chance to attack. Mm-hmm. And the ball switches possession and he just kind of throws his hands up like, yo, what are you guys doing? Like, you cover him. I can't get back in time. He was gassed, and he was still leaving it all on the pitch. I think this is the type of player that has proven he deserves a shot at a slightly higher level than Juventus, at the very least, not to come back to MLS. If he came back to MLS, he'd be one of the three best players in the league.
Yeah, I mean, I think about the any just negative comments about Weston McKennie. Yeah, we do talk about him a lot, but as far as a U.S. men's national
team player, it's a roller coaster. That's why.
But this season, I feel pretty comfortable saying there has not been a better U.S. MNT player playing for their club than Weston McKennie. I'm like trying to, if you can think of somebody else.
You have to suspend just stats, right? Because you could say Haji Wright has like 14 goals right now.
Mm-hmm.
People would probably freak out about that. Pulisic has been good, but not. Lights out, incredible.
But Pulisic has been okay, but injury, he missed some time.
Tyler Adams,
injured, missed some time. Same thing. But Tyler Adams is probably the next player I can kind of think of. Yeah. Then maybe Haji Wright, but he's doing it in the championship, so that's going to knock a few points off for me. But Weston McKennie has been.
Balogun is at a really good run right now, but it hasn't been as consistent as Weston McKennie.
Yeah, Weston McKennie is just too important to his European club, which we're not used to seeing outside of
a huge club,
but we're not used to seeing that from a U.S. men's national team player outside of like when Pulisic was last year with Milan, where he's like arguably one of the best players in Serie A, right? Yes. Him and Scott McTominay.
Right.
So the fact that Weston McKennie is playing like this, and yes, even in a loss, even on. I wouldn't necessarily say Juve are objectively a bad team. They are a Champions League team.
They're going through a bit of a rut, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, the injuries to all their strikers. Like, Weston McKennie shouldn't have to be playing striker.
Right.
But he is. And the fact that they trust him even to do that is like, says a lot about.
But like they said, he might be the perfect center striker, which is insane.
So when it comes to going into the World Cup, I'm like, this is an exciting time to have this midfielder on your national team.
I would also say, not just because he's the homie, but Tanner Tesman's also having a great season. But when I look across Europe, I'm thinking, who's been the most consistent? Tanner, definitely up there. Weston McKennie, to me, has given you the highlights that he deserves a shot at a bigger club. And I know they just re-signed him, but this is insane. Imagine your wife said to you, I want a divorce. I can't live with you anymore. And then 2 months later, they're like, I think I'm going to get your face tattooed on my neck. That's the level of, like, how toxic is this club for Weston McKennie?
I thought he signed his contract to his extension to renew. No. But I think he was offered it, but he hasn't signed it yet. I forgot who was that tweeted. It might have been Doyle or somebody from SoccerWise. They were like, don't sign it. And I'm like, oh, he did sign it? Maybe, you know, you ball out in a couple games. Maybe a couple other offers show up.
Yeah.
and maybe has a you know, another opportunity to go somewhere else. I don't necessarily think he's outgrown Juve, because even as a fan of the U.S. men's national team, to have an American at Juventus and be like appreciated and applauded even in a loss,
yeah,
like. He, you know, even your pizza friends are like, oh, they turn their minds.
Yeah, they don't jump in the group chat when those happen. But I will say his goal is the reason why Juventus was clapped by their fans when they walked off that pitch, even in a loss.
Yeah.
In a Champions League loss to Galatasaray. And, no disrespect to Galatasaray, but Juventus thinks they should be beating every Turkish team 9-0. So the reason they walked off clapping at their own players, honoring their players in a loss, is because of Weston McKennie's goal.
Yeah, it was a huge moment. And again, he had a great, great game. I would even argue that the game winning goal for Galatasaray, the Osimhen goal, was because of a giveaway.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot who the midfielder was, the player, but he tried to play a 1-2 and was trying to pass it to McKennie.
Yeah,
played a terrible pass. I don't know if this is a midfielder that made this pass, but it's just like, it's one of those.
It's very fullbacky.
It was like, you see the guy in the other color jersey. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Why are you passing
there's
it
like
there?
There's like two of them right there, bro. Yeah.
So why? And Weston would have, if it was like a proper, you know, passer or proper midfielder that could have connected that pass a little bit better. Weston McKennie has like a good run on, you know, to the attacking half. So, it was a look. The McKennie glazing is it this one? It's never gonna stop. Okay, especially if you keep playing like this. We might have to rename the show,
right?
If necessary.
But I do not think it's time to come to MLS unless you want to come to New York City FC.
Yeah, yeah. And join us right on the show.
Suddenly, I'm all in.
We got a chair for you right here, brother. All right.
Let's talk a little bit about Real Madrid, because obviously they won the Clásico del Racismo. Is that what they're calling it? Them versus Benfica? Allegedly, right? For all the Jose Mourinho fans in our mentions. But one of the things that I think pointed out to me was obviously Vinny was incredible in this game. But it maybe shines a bit of a light on, you know, Real Madrid is one of those teams that you don't need a star. You need 11 stars, right? But it's always somebody's team. And the idea that maybe it's Mbappe's team, you would say this year he's having an incredible season. He's scoring buckets, goals. I know he's injured right now, but he's had an incredible season so far. But maybe it takes two. You know, maybe it's him and Vinny kind of need to be the guy at the same time in order for this team to really shine.
Is that possible, though, with, like, you know, the
Mbappe left PSG, so he could be just the guy. So maybe if you ask him, no.
I mean, I did like the sort of camaraderie that I feel like we're not used to seeing with Real Madrid with, you know, Mbappe defending Vinny Jr.
Yeah.
In light of the, you know, the alleged words from Prestiani and all right. that stuff. So there seems to be, maybe that could be some unifying kind of moment that could sort of change how we even look at Real Madrid. Cause we're sort of like you just said, it's like 11 individual superstars that are so good
right.
that they're going to overpower most teams. But if people, you know, play team football, they can kind of outlast how good
Bodo Glimt is showing the world that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
or Boodoo.
But I thought it was a great moment when, at least when Vinicius Jr. scored and he's doing the same exact dance at the corner flag. I mean, it seems more powerful. It's a more powerful statement. Like the first one, Mourinho being like, this is an arrogant thing and he shouldn't be celebrating like that. And then the second one is like, no, this is
tell
who
me
I
how
am.
My ass tastes.
Tell me, that's right. How do you say that in Portuguese? So having moments like that, I think, are kind of important for him as a player, for the club. This is like the first time Real Madrid were like when Benfica scored first, I was like, Why I find myself rooting for Real Madrid. Yeah, I'm like, who am I? Who have I become?
Look at this. And it's not even like, oh, he scored in a vacuum or he scored because the moment was big. This stat is crazy. He scored six goals in his last five appearances for Real Madrid across all competition. I mean, this is the best, equaling his best run he's had. I think this goes to show that maybe there's more work to do on figuring out what the perfect chemistry is between Mbappe mm-hmm. and Vinicius Jr. But that camaraderie you brought up, a little more of that. Because like when Tchouaméni scores, I'm reminded just how good of a player Tchouaméni is. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, he'd be so good on Arsenal. He'd be so good over here. I'm just, Tchouaméni is one of those players that I absolutely love. Every time one of a different player, other than Trent for some reason, for Real Madrid does something spectacular, I'm like, yes, dude. Like if they were the guy on their own team, they'd be a massive name. Yeah, but for some reason, because they're on Real Madrid, they sort of get lost in the mix. Maybe there's something there. Maybe that, at this point, I'm saying be a team, but really, maybe Mbappe isn't, this isn't Mbappe's team. Maybe this isn't Vinny's team. Maybe this has to be like Mbimi's team, Mbini's team.
Mbini, yeah.
Like Jennifer it a little bit. Or Brad.
Bennifer.
Bennifer, yeah. Okay. Bennifer it up a little bit.
Okay, you know I'm not against it. Nah, man, you know, obviously the questions of Vinny having a good game when Mbappe is not there, right? Mbappe is going to be out for a little while, has a knee injury that he's recovering from. They had said that they wanted to give him some time so that it can heal properly. But Vinicius, I mean, look, and but this goes back to the point I made last week about, you know, the goal scoring average for PSG after Mbappe left improved. So PSG scored more after Mbappe left, but Mbappe scored more, obviously, for his own goal scoring average, improve wherever, like he's going to be good wherever he goes, but the team suffers, the team score less, even though Mbappe scores more. So it kind of, you forcefully have to ask these questions. I'm like, are they kind of better without Mbappe there? And it's hard to say. I mean, it's like, no one would ever say no to having Mbappe on your team. You make it work however you have to make it work. I mean, it's you would.
I actually heard Orlando City is signing Mbappe. They are, wow.
So, no, man, this is something, at least with Vinicius, I think it's just a good moment. And, you know, I'm sure Real Madrid, they don't need my sympathy that
also,
much.
Also, Benfica has made the celebration iconic now.
Sure. Yeah.
If you are, particularly if you are an anti-racist dude or if you're a black dude and you score, this got to be the goal celebration you do now.
Got to be the move. All right. Yeah. You mentioned Bodø/Glimt. This is a different question. We don't have this on the rundown, but I had seen people talking about this because the conversation about, all these Italian teams losing in Champions League, I'd seen some discourse about the is Serie A like in a crisis or whatever.
Inter is. They just lost to a team in preseason.
Yeah, that's a very fascinating, like an embarrassing stat.
Yeah.
Like Bodø/Glimt are not, they're in their off season.
Yeah.
And they
play March through November.
Yeah.
And they also play on turf in an 8,000 seat stadium. Not that I want to go. I want to check the stadium. But you're Inter Milan. You play in San Siro. You know what I mean? You've had some of the greatest players on earth play in your team. For the first time, a Norwegian team have eliminated an Italian in the an Italian team, not just in a guy, in the knockout stages of the European Cup / UEFA Champions League. In general, it only happened when Bodø/Glimt defeated Lazio in the quarterfinals of the UEFA Cup 2024-2025.
Yeah.
I mean, Bodø/Glimt, first of all, the way they play is, this is the type of soccer I like to watch.
Okay.
This is it, bro.
Norwegian football?
I might move to Norway, dog. But as soon as they get the ball, everyone is two touches max. Get it off your foot. Pass, move. Yeah. And where do you move? Not into a you know me, I love possession-based football. I love Pep Guardiola tactics. I love all that. De Zerbi, what he was doing. I love all this stuff. But there's nothing more fun than just like, where do you run? Where there's space and forward.
Sure.
And now, like, they barely have possession, but look at what they do with the possession. They get so many more shots on goal. The term brave is used a lot. Go out there and be brave. This is what they're talking about when they say go be brave.
Yeah.
Because you're literally going at these teams that you know they're better. Well, their valuation is higher.
Who have they beat? Obviously, they beat Inter Milan across two legs. They beat Manchester City.
Do we even need to bring anyone else up more?
I mean, but it is something to be. Look, it's impressive that they, you mentioned bravery, but it's like every aspect of the game. You know, we talk about confidence. Confidence is so important in this sport because it's not just about like taking shots on target or what. It's like it's believing in yourself, right? Believing that you have these players. You know, their transfer fees and their values.
I think the striker almost went to Norwich for $7 million. To give you an example,
player for player, that the teams that going up against, their transfer values are...
Inter Milan's chef probably makes more than 7 million.
So that is something to... You have to believe in yourself every time you get a pass or where you have to be in position or where or this trusting your teammates.
This is going to sound disrespectful, but I mean it respectfully. You almost have to suspend reality. You have to forget that Inter Milan is here and Bodø/Glimt is here on the scale.
Same thing when you go to Disney World, bro. You got to suspend disbelief and just enjoy. Speaking of delusional,
that's why Bodø are dangerous in Champions League. These brothers are playing for passion and great events. They don't care about you.
I love it.
You might be right. What was that time where like somebody won like a fish for being player of the match?
Yeah, I forgot what league that was.
They'd be
yeah.
like, oh, a fish. So, what are we going to do with all these fish? So, I think this is, I love the way they're playing. I'm sure they'll crash out at some point because this is a very difficult style.
There's no crashing out with how they've been playing.
No. What I'm saying is this is a style where you could get beat 7-0 because they leave themselves so exposed.
Sure.
But it's fun. It's exciting. And I'm... Bodø/Glimt is now my second favorite team in Champions League.
So, but as far as the Serie A question, Atalanta are the only Italian team that move on. Mm-hmm. Is there a huge crisis? I mean, for Serie A, I mean, I think the question I had seen people just, you know, because this is, you remember Sean McIntosh? I think it's Sean McIntosh, the guy from. He worked at Charlotte FC. Remember when we?
Oh yeah.
Dude with beard. Yeah. He's been he works at Las Vegas Life now, but he's been posting a lot. And he had asked this question because Dortmund loses to Atalanta, mm-hmm. and he's like, I thought Serie A was in crisis, and it's like, I understand the point that he's like trying to make, but it's like, Italy might miss their third World Cup in a row. Like, yes, Serie A, they're not developing to the degree of like the other team. And it's not even
the values of the clubs. There's just not enough money going around.
Right.
They're not competing in the same level of player that the Premier League is. The Premier League now sort of takes players from Serie A. Now that's been happening for a while, but it's so much easier now. These clubs are financially in danger. And worse than that, you also get to the point where Serie A, what helps you is the more players advance in Champions League, advance in Champions League, the more teams are allowed back in the Champions League because of the coefficient, and you're in danger of minimizing that. Now, at one point, we were talking about 6 teams in Italy going to Champions League. That's 6 teams that are going to get a big paycheck that can help to survive and lift the level of Serie A.
Mike Grella had made this point that I thought was really interesting. He was like,
do it in his accent.
What's his accent?
The most Long Island accent you could ever think of.
He does, I don't know.
You were so close. Why are you against fun?
He was making, what was the point? The point he was making was that about Scott McTominay. He's like, hey, Scott McTominay can't be the best player in your league, okay? Yeah. Like, basically,
he's like, I'm glad you're shining, but just making me look bad.
Right. I can't have a Scottish guy be the best player in my league, right? And I think, obviously, he's trying to say it without too much disrespect.
I mean, he's saying
but
it,
but it's
though.
Such a disrespectful thing. I mean, and because instead of hyping up what Scott McTominay does, it's just basically saying, like, he's kind of a mid player. That came to Serie A, and he's the best one.
Saying, yo, he's not even Italian.
Right.
Why aren't we developing better players?
Exactly. Yeah. So, look, there's a couple issues there, but it does seem to be a bigger problem. I forgot the Dortmund play. If the Dortmund play doesn't kick the dude in the head, Dortmund still has a very good chance of winning that game. I mean, even though Inter Milan have been in 2 Champions League finals the last few years, yes, impressive, but it's not... Collectively, you know what Serie A is doing is not good enough to compete in that European level. And I definitely the world possibly missing the World Cup, I think highlights that even more than what happens in Champions
League. They don't have a striker; they have an Argentinian guy at striker. It's crazy. Okay, Retegi, bro.
Okay, it's basically Italian. What are you gonna do?
If you ask Argentinians, yes.
Let's wrap up there, everybody. Thank you again to Mandy Freeman of Gotham FC for hanging out with us a little bit and talking about the New Jersey, not the New Jersey, not New Jersey, but I'm sure New Jersey.
Well, she'll bring it up, maybe.
So, but we, always appreciate it. It's super cool. And best of luck to Gotham FC. NWSL starting in a couple weeks. So we'll obviously be tuning into that.
All the kids have dropped. Go check them out. Go to NWSL's Instagram. You'll see them all. It's pretty dope.
Exactly. And we'll obviously have a ton of other NWSL players and probably some national team players coming through and hanging out with us from time to time. So we appreciate it. As always, make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all socials. Hit like, subscribe on YouTube. Join the Patreon, patreon.com/soccercooligans. We have a new episode of our 30-minute post-podcast show. So make sure to tune into that. We're going to be doing that weekly going forward. So we appreciate everybody in the Patreon and in the Discord hanging out with us. Y'all the best. All right. We'll see you next week. Hope all your teams lose. Peace.
Love you guys.